are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I will point out somebody else that covers a lot of ground is our friends over at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a lot of ground in North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham region. Listen, they're open 7 days a week at every location. They will see all ages. You've heard me say it, pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see them all. But this is also who I use personally. It is. And I don't use them because they advertise. I was using them before that, and I was so pleased. And every time I went, it was so clean and friendly and professional. I thought, okay, I can brag on this. And so I just asked them, and they said, you know what? Yeah. Turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian, so how hard was that? But yeah, Southern Immediate Care. They're all over the place. If you need medical attention, even on a Saturday morning, you look up the location nearest to you and head on down and do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Let me jump into my last dipper for the day. I mean, not having any guests today gave me a chance. I mean, I really wanted to unpack the Trump trial, and I really wanted to unpack the thing about the butcher of Iran, President Raisi. But I've got a third dipper, and it appears that even though I spent a huge amount of time on the other two topics, I've still got time for this one. Big City Blues is what I'm calling it. Big City Blues. What do I mean by that? Well, they're singing the blues in some of the big cities. There's one. But what I also mean is you got a lot of blue politics that are ruining some of our big cities. It's just absolutely asinine, some of the things they do. And you have to wonder, do they really stop and think, this will be really good? We'll just pretend that it's not a homeless mental health crisis. It's a housing crisis. So if we spend lots of money building little houses for people, and like little mini houses, they'll all live in them peacefully, and they'll plant flowers, and it'll be good, and it'll be like little Leave It to Beaver houses everywhere we go. No, they become little crack houses, and they get burned down, and they cost the taxpayers millions of dollars for no reason. Just enforce your crime penalty, your crime laws. Just enforce the vagrancy laws. And I do get that there are going to be people who need assistance and need help. Great. Empower the churches and empower the nonprofits to get in there and help you. Everything can't be a government solution. Here's a classic example. This is a story, that, by the way, that kicked me off into doing this dipper. City of Oakland. I remember when Oakland was, I mean, and Oakland's still a great city, but Oakland used to be just, I mean, like, remember like the Oakland Raiders, you know, Madden was the coach, it was Oakland, Oakland A's. I'm thinking sports a lot, but that was my reference point. Oakland, California, Daily Signal, story came out yesterday, known for its extreme leftism, is replacing some of the traffic lights in the city with four-way stop signs. Okay, why is that national news? It's not because they're trying to help traffic. It's because the crime rate is so bad, the city officials decided they had to remove the traffic signals because copper theft had become so rampant that literally homeless folks were coming out of the nearby homeless encampments, gerrymandering the signals, stripping the copper out of them while they hung there, and leaving the intersections with no lights. That's how bad it was. And you look at this and think, okay, so sooner or later, you're going to figure out that maybe your policies are bad. No. The article goes on to point out places like Portland and Oakland, they're just slow on the uptake due to the ideologies of government officials and the activist organizations who pressure them. They really think that things like homelessness is really just a housing issue, or that pushing people off the streets is somehow oppressive. Well, that's where we are. We're losing some of these major cities. These are jewels, man. Oakland. What a beautiful city. On the coast of California. And then there's this one, San Francisco, the city by the bay. It's still a beautiful city, but it's lost so much of its luster. Here's a story from the New York Post that came out just a couple months ago. It says San Francisco's crime spree has taken a new twist. It has exploded out of its shattered downtown into areas that residents used to think were safe. So So the mayor of San Francisco is London Breed. She's been touting declining crime numbers. Great. Not really, because the metro area is now seeing it spill out into the suburbs. So what's basically happening is she's able to say, well, our crime rate's going down. No, it's a spreading out. It's still there, very much so. Burglaries up 44% in 2024 so far this year. 44% increase in burglaries in San Francisco's residential Terraval district. Burglaries are also up in 19% in Ingleside, 6.2% in Richmond. These are all suburb communities of San Francisco, and they're seeing major crime upticks. Why? Because the city is in what they call a doom loop. Some call it a death spiral in downtown. Half the retailers in downtown have fled. They can't survive, and they're tired of crime. Crime and safety concerns, progressive policies on criminal justice are widely blamed for the exodus. Here's a few examples. One lady bought a candy store, said her kids had always loved this candy store, and when it came up for sale in 2020, she thought, oh, this will be the thing. I'll buy the candy store. And so she did. She has been so far robbed 5 times, assaulted by a homeless person who not only assaulted her in the doorway of her own store, but then pushed his way into the store and assaulted others who were there. In her words, she said, it should not be dangerous to work in a candy store, but here it is. And she also cannot let her employees work alone. In other words, she has to pay to have more people on staff because it's too dangerous for them to be there by themselves. And the city has an $18 minimum wage, which means all of her margins now are stretched super thin. How about Yang's restaurant? Yang is a little Chinese restaurant in the North Panhandle neighborhood. Broken into once every 6 months since 2020. $15,000 in repairs, $3,000 in looted cash, untold amounts in stolen food. He used to leave takeout orders on the front table, but thieves kept running in and snatching it. So basically Uber Eats has to come up and ask for the food, and they have to stop what they're doing and get it for him. He says even though he pays $10,000 a year for his insurance, his claims have never reached his deductible, so he has to pay out of pocket every time. Throughout his string of burglaries, Yang says he contacted local city officials, but all he got was some patronizing stuff from an intern who would call and respond to the call. And he says, I don't blame the police. Their hands are tied. Look, this is what's happening in America's big cities, but don't think for a second that this is just out there somewhere, all right? Just out there. It is here. Like, I've got a story here. Let me find it. 1819 News ran a piece just this morning. Yeah, here it is. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham. So right now, homicides are at an all-time high in Birmingham. Birmingham is the homicide capital of the Southeast, it appears. And I don't say that lightly. It is. The stats are awful. Well, what does Birmingham's Mayor Randall Woodfin have to say about it? Well, the problem is Trump. Here you go. The problem is Trump because he accepted the National Rifle Association's endorsement this past weekend. Great. Awesome. Never mind the fact that we had a man in a wheelchair shot while he sat in his front yard in Birmingham the other day. We have a young child that was killed along with, I believe, her mother. And so Trump dares to take the NRA's endorsement, and Woodfin, Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, goes on Al Sharpton's TV show on MSNBC and blames Trump for being part of the problem. Never mind the fact that we've got shootings going through the roof because of liberal policies. Right here in the red state of Alabama, you have blue pockets, and Birmingham is one. And Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin has continuously been soft on crime, even to the extent of looking at illegal drug possession and deciding to issue pardons in municipal court himself, issuing pardons dating back to 1992. Was he even born in 1992? Just basically just going way back before his administration, just excusing crime. What does that say to the criminals? It says, hey, man, we got a free pass. As long as Woodfin's in office, we're good. Do the small stuff, ain't nobody going to say nothing. What happens when you do the small stuff enough? It leads to the big stuff. The police look at it. What do they think? It's demoralizing. We arrested these people. We got them convicted. He just pardoned them. Dadgummit, they're on the street again doing the same thing tomorrow. Why do I do this job? Well, it's that way everywhere we look. Seattle. Seattle's got a brand new test to screen their police to see whether or not they have a propensity for you know, being mean, I guess. But right now, Seattle is had 97 officers left the force last year alone. 97. Applications in the past 5 years have declined completely since the Black Lives Matter riots to a low of 1,895. So what they're saying right now is they're in a recruiting hurt for police. Yet they instituted this new test. And I don't mind screening and testing. I don't. But theirs is not one that anybody else uses. They have their own version. And they want to make sure that they're hiring, you know, just the right people who will toe just the right line. Because, you know, liberal policies are what really matters here. Not crime. Liberal policies. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about one more thing about Big City Blues. And it's something that weighs heavy on my mind because it's you can see the real estate market, what's happening right now. Let me tell you what's going to happen in liberal big cities. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Put that on a bumper sticker. All right. So, by the way, I want to remind you guys just real quickly as you're heading into go home time, give a look at our new podcast. We have a video podcast that is up now. It's called The Right Philosophy. And The Right Philosophy is found on our website. We got some new stuff being added to YouTube. We'll have a bunch of several new playlists going on pretty soon. But right now, you can catch it streaming through the rightsideradio.org website. That's rightsideradio.org. Go to the podcast tab. Click on it and you'll find The Right Philosophy. It's a video podcast. I film it at my house, actually, and really, really enjoying doing this. I mean, I'm getting a kick out of it. If you like the monologues I do at the beginning of the show, picture that style in a video format. Me sitting in my study just doing the thing. Call it The Right Philosophy. Check it out on rightsideradio.org. All right, let me wrap up this section here. The Big City Blues. So, here's one of the things that happens. I gave you the crime statistics. I gave you the soft on crime and liberal policies examples. I watching what's happening to our big cities right now just eat themselves alive. Here's one of the potential outcomes, and we're already seeing it developing. Got a story. I got a piece here from the Tax Policy Center. It's a deep dive. But it says 3 years after the beginning of COVID, the shift to remote work for many office workers has now put the future of commercial real estate and potentially city government budgets on shaky ground. By the way, where did they do the most shutdowns and the send people home mode? The blue cities, the blue states. Yes, we saw it everywhere to some degree. But you saw states like Florida, Alabama, and others come back to life a lot quicker. Alabama, I was real proud. We were one of the first states to send our kids back to school. But right now, what we're looking at is commercial property in some of the major cities, especially the blue cities, is literally beginning to tank. Why? Because they're vacant at rates that have not been seen. You have so much commercial property right now in the major blue cities. Here's an example. Office values are going down right now. District of Columbia, D.C., $464 million in lost revenue over the next three fiscal years because of empty commercial properties. San Francisco could lose up to $150 to $200 million by 2028. That's 5 to 6% of all their property taxes. In Boston, almost three quarters of the current total general revenues come from property taxes. Half of that from commercial. New York City is expected to see a long-run decline of 44% in the value of commercial buildings. That's a $50 billion loss to the overall market on commercial value. And this is all because soft on crime, send people home, shut down the community. All of these things happen, and they drive people away from the heart of downtown, and suddenly you've got vacant office buildings, and no one wants to come back. Why would they? I can get my job done. You proved to me for a year when you sent me home that apparently my job can get done at the house. Now I don't have to get mugged when I come downtown. Now I can eat a sandwich at the house and enjoy it and, you know, go to work technically in my pajamas as opposed to having to get up, catch the train or ride, drive the car, hit, fight the traffic, get downtown, try to buy the Starbucks, pay for, you know, a big overpriced meal in a downtown diner, and then try to make it back the next day too. I get it. Me, I'm a big fan of working in person. I could do this show from home, but I don't. But I'm watching right now as cities' policies are causing an implosion. Why? Because so much of their revenue is based on commercial property tax downtown. And they're tanking right now. So what do they do about it? Well, it's making it hard for them to map out their fiscal futures, right? So as they're already in a spiral and they're not sure how to pull out of it, we could tell them, but they won't listen. They're not sure how to pull out of it. It gets worse because now they have no money to spend to fix the things that they're breaking with their policies. So, you know, unlike the federal government that can just print money at will, cities can't do that. They got budget constraints. They can't borrow as much. They can't print money of their own. So infrastructure begins to suffer. City government takes the cutback. Essential services begin to hurt. You can't pay for as much police and fire coverage. So what are they going to do? Well, they could increase the tax rates on the commercial properties, but that seems to be sort of counterintuitive because there's already people not paying the property tax. So what do you do with that? Well, they could cut spending. Good luck in a blue city telling them to cut the spending. I mean, they're so busy paying for things that they don't have to pay for. Are they really going to cut all that spending? Doubtful. So what are they probably going to do? Option three, they make up for all their shortfalls by increasing taxes in other places. Raising it on your residential properties, raising it on sales taxes, fines, fees. Next thing you know, it's a totally regressive system that's trying to feed itself. And the only way it can do it is to find ways to take from you. And then you see people saying, enough of this, and they're just going to move out. I'm done. I'm out of here. I will not live here anymore. And then suddenly you've got giant ghost towns. Now, did I paint an overly gloomy image? Maybe. But we're seeing it happen right now in major, beautiful, epic, high-quality American cities. And I'm going to tell you right now, they got the big city blues, man. If they don't claim it back sometime soon, we're going to be losing some of them. All right, that's a great day, man. That was a huge unpack of some big topics. Hey, the grades are in. How do we do? John from Huntsville says, Big Rig gets an A++ for his fantastic Taco Tuesday performance, but today's winner is out of doubt Phil. Yay! With a supersized A++ because he completed the triple dipper with an ample amount of information. Unless I missed something, he didn't say anything worthy of a point deduction. His punitive system, man, that carrot and stick thing. Perfection, congratulations. Also, he says, I hope tomorrow Dale Jackson actually gives a Grand Council performance worthy of an A+. I hope he does too. I hope he does. All right, you guys, listen. Seriously, we do what we do because of you, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We should have the Grand Council. I'll be checking with the guys tonight, make sure all is well. But yes, indeedy, Grand Council scheduled for tomorrow. I'm looking at Butters and Lee on Thursday. In the meantime, Big Rig and I are back here tomorrow, too. Y'all have a great night. We will see you then.